We want to talk a little bit about the principles of tshuva. First, outline the four major aspects of tshuva. And we will see them little by little as we go through the Menayin and Shara Tshuva. There are four principal parts of tshuva. There's the question, first aspect of tshuva. We'll leave it at that. It's questionable. It's the first or the second. Rabbi Eliezer will discuss that. Is charata. In all of life, we don't go forward with anything until we come to the conclusion that where we are is not where we want to stay. And it makes no difference what it is in this world, whether it's the service of the Rebbe Shel Olam, whether it's in the skills that we have, how we run our business. The only time that we go forward is when we come to the conclusion that the place that we're in is not the place to be. And usually, to have the motivation to go forward, we have to feel that this is not a good place to be. So that's the question of charata. As we spoke about the other day, Rabbi Yonah says a person has to feel ra umar ozva yes Hashem. It's forsaking the Rebbe Shel Olam. It's bad and it's bitter. It means it's something that disturbs him. He doesn't have tranquility. His equilibrium is upset by the situation that he's in. So that provides a person with motivation. So that has to be the first step in tshuva, usually. After that, we have to come to azivas achet. That we have to correct what we're doing inappropriately. And that's not such an easy task. Why? Because the simple things, the things that were fit with our personality and our thrust in life, we probably did long ago. The things that we have yet to do by this point in life are because they're not so simple to do. We may have dabbled with them at different points along the way, not so successfully. So now suddenly to put them in order is not such a simple task. So that's a struggle. Azivas achetz. And without that, the entire possibility of tshuva doesn't really exist. You know, sometimes we can't make the leap. So we have to take incremental steps towards reaching the goal. As Rabbi Saul of Salon says, within every chet that a person might do, within each aspect of chet, within each chet, there are parts which are more severe and parts which are less severe. And the less severe parts are the parts which are hardest to correct. The most severe parts are the ones which are easiest to correct. And he bases this, the Gemara says in Menachos, that if a person has a four-cornered beged and he doesn't put tzitzis on it, so there are two mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah of the white strands and the mitzvah of the tchelis. So the Gemara says that kosher einchon shalovam einchon shel tchelis. The einish for not fulfilling the white strings is greater than the einish for not fulfilling the tchelis. And why is that? For a very simple reason. The tchelis cost a lot of money. So therefore, a person has a big yetzahara not to do this. He's going to get a bill. But with the white strands, and what are the white strands? The white strands, they can be a kind of pennies. Why doesn't he do the white strands? So we see from that, Rabbi Saul says that within every head, the aspect that's easiest to correct is the one that we're most culpable for. Because Shemayim will say, listen, so if you didn't do the aspects, okay, that we understand. You have some excuse, some measure of excuse. Well, this you could have done easily, this part, so why didn't you do this part at least? So what we have to do, if we're not ready to conquer the whole thing, at least chip away at it. Chip away, make a dent. We'll clean the act up a little bit. It's the easier parts we'll clean up. The harder parts will take time, maybe years. But at least to chip away. We're not standing still. We're going forward. then of course a person has to have vidui. And according to the Rambam, it would seem that the vidui is really the essence of tshuva. In sort of lomdisha terms, we would say that all the other aspects of tshuva are the conditions that one has to fulfill to be able to do mitzvah's tshuva. But mitzvah's tshuva, according to the Rambam, is the vidui. That's very clear. It's clear in the first parak in the Rambam. And I found long ago that Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, also interpreted the Rambam that way. The Rambam tells us that mitzvah sasei achas v'yishiyoshu v'chayti mechetu lifnei Hashem v'yizbada, and pronounce the vidu. That is the essence of the tshuva, according to the Rambam, mitzvah's tshuva. The other things we can't do vidui if we didn't put the house in order, right? Chazal compare that to toivel v'sheretz biyodei. Person goes into the mikvah, he's tar, he wants to become tar, and he won't let go of the sheretz. So what did it avail him? He might as well have not gone in the first place. So how could we do vidui? And we're telling the Rebbeinu Shlomo Olam that we truly express regret for what we've done. And right as I'm telling it them, I'm doing the same thing. There's a marshal of the Dubna Magid. It says, Avinu Malkeinu Chatonu Lefonecha. He says, what's the word Lefonecha? So he says, in his time, business was conducted very much at trade fairs. So people came, they had these big trade fairs. I mean, now we have them in Las Vegas, half the country is there for trade fairs too. But then they used to bring all the goods with them, and they had a big trade fair, and people came. There was no banking system as we know it today. They came with tons of cash, and you bought at a very good price the goods that you needed, and you brought them home with you, and you earn your living from that. So the trade fair was about to begin, and the police chief of the town was concerned that the local gambling den shouldn't fleece all the people that came. He said, this is not going to be socially very good if the people that come and they're supposed to support their families by investing money and buying goods, if they lose their money in the gambling den, so this is going to be a social disaster. So he knows his customers, so the police chief goes around town to the gambling den and he tells them, listen, I'm warning you now, when the fear comes to town, I better not find you near that place. If I find you anywhere near that place, you're in deep trouble. Okay? Comes the day of the fear, and of course the police chief brings the policeman to make security, and he's marching around, you know, seeing what's going on at the fair. And lo and behold, he comes to one up a place in the fair, and the gamblers are in the fair, and they've opened up their roulette wheel and whatever, the business is humming. So he's infuriated. He goes over to the chief of the gamblers and he says, what are you doing here? I warned you, you know, not to dare show up at the fair. So there's a whole exchange, a heated exchange between them, and a heated exchange attracts a crowd. So the gambler says, how could he, you know, he has 100 customers here, how could he lose them? So he turns away from the police chief and starts saying, okay, put your money down on the roulette, you know. So the police chief, it's bad enough that you set up, but now, as I'm standing right here, now you're also plying your trade. That's Avinu Malkeinu Chatonu Lefonecha. You know, we can't hide from the Rebbeinu Shalom. So just if we stop to think for a moment, here we are, I want to say vidui, and right now I'm Chatonu Lefonecha. I have no intention of letting go of the chet. And then finally, we need Kabbalah La'osid. We need to affirm for ourselves that this is not a place that we want to go again, with absolute determination. And that's also not simple. It's not simple. And I think our problem is that we want to do tshuva too quickly. Tshuva is a process. And it's not relegated just to Elul and Yom and Aron. It's a lifelong process, tshuva. And consequently, we need to work at things on a regular basis. Whatever it is that we want to accomplish. If we do, then little by little we can get there. But we're in a rush. You know, it's Elul, and Rosh Hashanah is coming. You want to get there quickly. Quickly is a hard, a very, very hard path to do tshuva. And there are much better ways. The Gemara relates in Avodah Zarah, Rav Elazar ben Dardaya. Rav Elazar ben Dardaya was a person who sinned regularly and egregiously. And one fine day it just struck him that this was Lozu Aderach, and he went off to the mountains and he cried and cried and cried and cried until he died. So Chazal say, Yesh Koina Olam B'Sha'achas. There's a person that acquires his Olam Haba in an hour. The Mefarshim, I believe the Marsha state, it's not a Maila. Yesh Koina Olam B'Sha'achas is a Chisor, not a Maila. Far, he would have been far better off if he spent his lifetime working at it. He would have gotten to a different place. Yeah, he was fortunate that he was Koina Olam B'Sha'achas. But he didn't achieve what a person that works at it persistently would have achieved. There is, a person can have tremendous spurt, sudden inspiration. But that sudden inspiration doesn't equal another person that works at it slowly, 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 pushing, pushing, pushing forward. Gets to a totally different place. These are the basic elements of tshuva. But the Rambam says there are things that we need to go together with these elements of tshuva with to succeed. The Rambam writes in Perek Beis Halacha Dalet, Midarkei HaTshuva means, these are not tshuva itself, but a person that does tshuva should involve himself in these aspects if he wishes to succeed. If you open a business, so you have employees and you have a product and etc. If you're a smart businessman, you have insurance too. Right? That's not part and parcel of your business. But if you stop to take note of what will happen if I don't have insurance, so I may succeed in everything else and ultimately be defeated. So it's midarkei HaTshuva, a person that does tshuva. How do we know that I'm not going to relapse? That I won't go back to where I was before. So what do I have to do? I did tshuva, no. So how do I know I'm going to succeed? So the first thing the Rambam tells us is Liyo Sashov Tsoyek Tomud Lifnei Hashem Bebechi Besachnunu. I should pour out my heart for the Rabbi Rishonim. I should ask the Rabbi Rishonim for Siyata Dishmaya. What a Chazal tell us? That the Yetzirah is stronger than we are. So how do we defeat him? The answer is we have Siyata Dishmaya. Without Siyata Dishmaya, we're not going to win. So the first thing that we have to do if a person wants to succeed at tshuva is to follow for Siyata Dishmaya. And we must follow from the depths of his neshama, bebechi besachnunu, not a superficial tefillah. He should be mispalo not as if his life depends upon it, but his life does depend upon it. I did tshuva. No. Maybe tomorrow the Yetzer Hara is going to schlep me down again. So what do I need? I need siyata dishmaya. So tefillah is an essential aspect of darkei atshuva. Secondly, is voice it stoko knifi koichoy, and he should do stoko knifi koichoy according to his means. Now, this stems first of all is the schus of stoko. Stoko is tatzel mimovus, tremendous schus. But beyond that, there's another aspect to this too. In the Avinu Malkeinu, we say Avinu Malkeinu, Kozveinu B'Sefer Zchuyos. Record us in the Sefer of those that have merit. Now, what type of tefillah is that? If we have merit, the Rebbeinu Shalom will record us. And if we don't have merit, we're not getting in. So, why do we need Avinu Malkeinu, Kozveinu B'Sefer Zchuyos? Either we have it or we don't. In this world, you can be written down for things that you don't deserve. You know, a guy goes, he bribes the bureaucrat that's in charge, and suddenly his name appears in the list of the people that have a certain schus, a certain right. You know, it doesn't belong there, but in this world there are ways to fix the people that want to find out ways to fix these things up. But in Olam Haba, how are we going to fix it up? Bribe the Rebbeinu Shalom, what are we going to do? I mean, Kozveinu B'Sefer Zchuyos. So the Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in two different places, talks about this. And he comes at it basically from the same point, but he says it really has to do with two things. It has to do with the Mishpat every year on Yom Kippur, and it has to do with the Mishpat after Me'ev Esrim Shon, on both. And each place he explores it from one angle. And he asks the following, he says the following. You know, we do mitzvahs at all different levels. You know, sometimes you come in, we're hyped up, I'm really, you know, I'm totally focused on davening, and I realize I'm in the presence of the Rebbeinu Shalom. So I daven, it takes forever to daven, but I davened. Other days is what they say in Yiddish, I have abgedavened, you know. And I polished it off, you know. I came, I was 3/4 asleep. I was on cruise control. I remember Tovu, I remember Baruch Hu, halfway I remember Kedusha and Aleinu, because everything else is a little bit of fog. Daven those days, some days that's the way we daven. So in Shemayim, how are they going to take that? Are they going to count that mitzvah or not count? I did show up at shul. You know, I didn't sleep. I showed up. I did open the siddur. So how are they going to look at it? A guy put on his tefillin. So one day he has the kavanas, that I mean Shema Yisrael, I'm dedicating everything, all the aspects of my being to the Rebbeinu Shalom. And he puts on the tefillin exactly, his medaktik bedin, he puts on the tefillin correctly. Another day he runs in, the Rebbeinu Shalom, it's just, he doesn't know where he's at. He doesn't even stop to look. His tefillin hanging halfway down his forehead. He davens the whole davening with it. He puts him away. No. So now he comes before the Rebbeinu Shalom. What are they going to do with him? Yeah, he gave tzedaka. One day he gave tzedaka on the Shem Shammai. Another day he gave tzedaka because he wanted covered. You know, get a lot of honor. You know, they need something, you know. A new room in yeshiva, I'll give $100,000 for it, and I'll be very mechubad in town. So it's a good deal. But, you know, the Lashem Shemayim was very far from his intention. So how are they going to view it? So the Chofetz Chaim Zatzal says the following. Chazal writes, Kol ha-merachem al ha-briyas, is merachem al ha-ben ha-shamayim. If a person has rachamim, has compassion for people, so with Hashemayim, they have compassion on us. So the Chofetz Chaim says, how will they treat these mitzvahs? The dubious mitzvahs that we've done them, but they're tattered. So it depends.
if we're kapdonim and everyone that I agreed to deal with, they have to do it exactly the way we want, and if not, we send them packing. So in Shemayim, they're going to deal with us the same way. They'll say, okay, listen, you're strict, you every dog, I had every dot and every T crossed, okay? So that's the standard we use to judge you too. If, however, you were an easygoing guy, you know, let it slide, and you weren't hung up about every little thing, and you let people slide by, so in Shemayim, they'll let us slide too. The Chofetz Chaim even writes, the guy that put on tefillin in the wrong place and hung halfway down his forehead by mistake, he'll get schar for that too. Obviously, he won't get the schar of the guy that put it on right, but schar will get. So he says, in Shemayim, he says, none of us are in the position that we can afford to lose the dubious mitzvahs either. We have too many of them. We can't afford to lose them. So we write, Hosveinu b'sefer schuyes, that we should be have merit of Merachem al Abrius, that all the dubious mitzvahs should get written into, shouldn't leave them out. And what it means to do something l'shem Shemayim, you know, to strive to do something l'shem Shemayim in this world. There's a maisa that I heard, a Talmud of Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. And the mice is this. Chofetz Chaim finished writing Sefer Mitzvos HaKotzer. It's all the mitzvahs, I say and Lois are saying, which are relevant b'zman hazeh. So he left out all the ones that weren't relevant nowadays, the Karbonos, etc. Just the Sefer on all the mitzvahs, which are relevant b'zman hazeh. So a person that wants to know what am I obligated to do today? So you have a Sefer, a short Sefer from the Chofetz Chaim, goes through all the mitzvahs which are relevant today. So the Chofetz Chaim finished writing the Sefer, but the Chofetz Chaim never had money to his name. He was a Baal Chayiv most of his life because he had to support the Yeshiva in Radin. So he never had money. So the Meshulach of the Yeshiva in Radin, or one of the Meshulach, was going to the United States. So he told them that, listen, I don't want you to solicit anyone for the Sefer. Just mention to him that the Chofetz Chaim finished the Sefer and he's looking to publish it. That's all. You know, just mention passingly. And the person has to, of his own, say that he wants to sponsor it. Secondly, I only want one person to do it, or whatever the Chofetz Chaim's cheshbon, I don't want it to be more than one person. And number three, that I want it to be Be'elam Shem, totally anonymous. So if there's a person that comes forth that he wants to sponsor it and he offers all of these conditions, so then I'm interested. So the Meshulach went off, and one day he came to a wealthy man, I think in the Midwestern United States, and he said to him, mentioned to him, that the Chofetz Chaim just finished the Sefer. So the man said, oh, I'd love to have the schus to help the Chofetz Chaim publish it. But I have two conditions. Number one, I don't want anyone else to assist me. And number two, I absolutely insist that I remain anonymous. So this, the shidduch was made. So he supplied the money, and the Chofetz Chaim published the Sefer. Years and years went by after the Chofetz Chaim was nifter. And one fine day, I believe in Eretz Yisrael, the Meshulach, you know, survived the war and was living in Eretz Yisrael. And the Meshulach revealed who the person is, this story, and he said, revealed who the person was that sponsored the Sefer. And the person that sponsored the Sefer was the father-in-law of Rav Bezalel Zsolt, the Rav of Yerushalayim. He was a wealthy man, and he was the sponsor of the Sefer. It reached the ears of Rav Zsolt's father-in-law, and he was extremely upset. And he said he could never be meichel the person that revealed this story. He says, why? He says, I've been a very wealthy man my whole life. And consequently, everything that I do is public knowledge. And I give money to here, to the mikveh, to the shul, to the yeshiva, whatever, everybody knows. So I wanted a schus, which is fully l'shem Shemayim, that I should be able to come before the Kisei HaKov and say, this is a mitzvah that I did, nobody knows about it, and I'll have schar, at least for this mitzvah, fully l'shem shamayim, in Leitz Tokas. So that's why I sponsored the Chofetz Chaim Sefer. And I insisted that nobody know about it. I didn't want anyone else to partner with me, so no one should know. It should remain a total secret. And now you went, and you let it out. He says, so now what am I going to come before the Rebbeinu Shem? I'm going to get covered for this in this world too. To do a mitzvah for the Shem Shemayim. Number three, the Rambam tells us, and v'srachek harbeim in adobo shechotem, that he should distance himself greatly from the chet that he did. Let's put it in Olam Hazeh terms. You know, there's a person, either he doesn't drink at all, or he drinks in extreme moderation. So such a guy goes by, he goes to visit a brewery, he passes seven bars on the way and looks inside. It doesn't affect him in the least. This is not his thing in life, you know? He takes a drink once in a while, he likes a drink, but this, nothing negative is going to happen to him. There's another guy who's a lush. He's a drunk. You know, I've known nice people, but they had a weakness for drink. And I grew up with such a man. He was a very wonderful man, a good-hearted guy, but he loved drink too much. You know, and it wasn't uncommon to find him drunk. Not at all. He didn't do bad things when he was drunk. He was a gentleman, a nice man. But he knew how to get drunk. Now, so such a person, if he wants to avoid getting drunk, so he has to make sure that he doesn't wind up within a mile of a whiskey bottle. If he gets closer than that, if he gets within arm's length of a whiskey bottle, he's in trouble. And that's for every single one of us in life. The things that I'm likely to err in, and the things that I'm not likely to err in, everyone according to their personality. I had an uncle, Olav HaShalom, my mother's oldest brother. And it was very surprising. He was a public figure. He was a menahal for maybe 50 years, close to 50 years. He was a menahal of a school. So he was in a public position. There's always, you know, pressure from all types of things in public positions. But he was totally unflappable. Totally unflappable. No one ever saw him in his life that he got angry. So when he was nifter, my aunt Allah HaShalom told me, I was married to him for 62 years. He never said a harsh word to me. And I knew that his whole life he was that way. When he was a child yet, under the most difficult of circumstances, my mother, Allah HaShalom, told me, he was unflappable. He could never lose his cool. So such a person like that could get himself close to all types of situations, but he has the inner strength not to lose it. The rest of us, who are more typical of human beings, not of saints, so we have to keep away from a lot of situations. Because if we get too close to them, we know what's going to happen. So, it's what the Goyen writes in Mishlei. The Goyen in Mishlei writes, the Mishnah always says, Asus Yogliter. We should make a fence around the law. Chazal derived this, the Medrash Rabba tells us in Parshas Nosai, this comes from the Parsha of Nazirus. A Nazir is supposed to be Yazir Atzmo Menayayim. The wine leads people to do things they're not supposed to do. So we shouldn't drink wine. So we should have this a serious demeanor that'll keep him from sinning. But meanwhile, what did the Torah do? The Torah said he shouldn't eat grapes, he shouldn't eat grape skins, he shouldn't eat grape pits, extracts. What's all of this about? But this is the Asus Yog the Torah. Stay away. What do Chazal say about the Nozer? They tell the Nozer, Schor, Schor, the Karma Lo Sikrov. Take the long route around, but don't get anywhere near the vineyard. So we learn Asus Yog L'Torah from there, the Gro writes. Asus Yog L'Torah, all the siyogim that are necessary for all the Klal Yisrael, Chazal took care of already. They didn't leave anyone unlegislated. They provided all the siyogim that we need. All of Klal Yisrael needs. But the Gaon says that doesn't address, that addresses Klal Yisrael and not Rebbe Yisrael. Each one of us has to make our own cheshbon. Where do I need a siyog? Yeah, you don't need that siyog, but I need a siyog. Where do I need a siyog? And each one of us has to legislate for ourselves. And since I know that I have a weakness in a certain area, so I have to build buffers and buffers and buffers which will keep me from slipping. Because I know there's a weakness. I know there's, I have to do something about it. You know, most people don't walk around without ankle braces. Baruch Hashem, they have healthy ankles. A guy that doesn't have a healthy ankle, so if we walk around the whole day without an ankle brace, tomorrow he won't be able to walk. So what does he do? So he wears an ankle brace. So is that, that's, we would just, we suggest that that's the lifestyle for every person to wear an ankle brace. No, most people have healthy ankles. They don't need to wear ankle braces. But if you have an ankle that's damaged, and now it's, you want it to heal, you want it not to deteriorate further, so you have to do something about it. You put on an ankle brace. So that's what the Rambam says in Misrache Karbe. We have to keep far away min adav shechotub, from the area on which we erred. So it's not enough that I went back to where I was before. Okay, I was mekabel upon myself, I'm not going to do it, and aziv asachet and charov. All true. But the Rambam says, you're leaving yourself exposed. You have a weakness. Are you sure that the weakness is gone? Don't be so sure. Maybe the weakness is still there. So if the weakness is still there, so I have to build barriers and barriers and barriers, Mishrachik Harbe, to make sure that the Yetzer Hara cannot reach a critical point. There is something else. The Rama writes in Mishana Shmai. A person has to change his name. Now, the Rambam does not take that literally. You know, if his name was Yankel, he doesn't have to change his name to Beryl. That's not what's going to help. That's not what's helping him to do tshuva. But rather, the Rambam says, Kloimar. Don't take this literally, the Rambam says. Shani Acher. I'm a different person. I'm not the person that did that chet. Rabbeinu Yonah writes, yes, a small epistle called Yisayr HaTshuva. It appears in many machzorim for Yom Kippur, in the front, at the very front of the machzor. One of the things that he writes in the Yisayr HaTshuva is that when a person comes to do tshuva, he should throw away all his chatoim, that they don't have anything to do with them, and start to be Oyver Hashem. Now, how do you throw away your chatoim? It would be nice. Imagine there's a special button you could press and we throw away all the chatoim. It would be phenomenal. But segeitnish does I like. It's not so simple. So what do we do? What do we do? So Rabbeinu Yonah, the pshat in Rabbeinu Yonah is that we don't believe in ourselves many times. When we come to do tshuva, we fail. Why do we fail? Because we don't believe in ourselves. Listen. I know what I'm capable of. I know what I've done. I know I've tried to do tshuva before and I didn't succeed. So why am I kidding myself? Why am I going to succeed this time? So we remain static. We remain burdened and immobile because of the past. We consider where we've been and what we've done. You know, listen, this tshuva, let the Chofetz Chaim worry about it. I'm not, you know, Achbenishkan Tzaddik. I'm not a Tzaddik. It's not happening. So we don't get in gear for what reason? Because I know myself too well. So a person has to first feel that I have the possibility of being a new person. I'm unburdened by it. Just because I didn't succeed in the past does not mean that in a combination of being determination and siyata d'shmaya that I cannot succeed now. I can be a totally different person than I was until now. Yeah, last year I failed. 5 years ago I failed. But I'm not that person anymore. I've entered a new stage in life. So we have to believe, in fact, that we can reach that point, that we can enter a new realm. And that's the Mishana Shmo. I'm not burdened, I'm not limited by what took place in the past. Why? Because I'm a new person now. I have a new sense of siyata d'shmaya, I have a new determination. And therefore, yeah, the past is the past, but it has no connection with what's now. So this is a very key element in tshuva. There's Soloveitchik Zatzal. You know, we say in the Anam Zmiras, Zikna v'yom dinu v'acharus v'yom krof. The Rebbeinu Shalom reflects, you know, different miles. Zikna is sagacity. Sagacity is generally the province of a person that's experienced a great deal of life. Not for 20-year-olds. A person that's experienced a great deal of life. So Zikna has sagacity when he has to sit at Paskin Adin. So you need to be wise. When you need to go to battle, battle is not the province of the middle-aged or the elderly. That, you know, to go to battle, you need young soldiers. Bachros, youth, is beyond crow when you go to battle. In life tour of Yosheba, Soloveitchik Zatzal said, we also have to have both aspects, Zikton Bachros. And they reflect different aspects of our avodah. Zikna is the mature judgment that a person has as he's lived most of life already. He's experienced a great deal of life. So he has a mature judgment. He assesses a situation, he assesses it maturely, not in a childish fashion. He understands what the dynamics of the situation are. He understands, consequently, how to deal with that situation. How do you deal with that situation? He's been there. Maybe 10 times over in life. He's not surprised by this anymore. So he has the wisdom to know how to deal. But in that wisdom, there are limitations. Because wisdom dictates to me what's likely to happen in life, how it's likely to play out. I'm not going to bet on far-fetched possibilities. Youthful, a person's youthful. Sagacity he doesn't have. He doesn't have the experience of life to weigh a situation and make a mature judgment. But he has enthusiasm. Tremendous enthusiasm. A young person feels he can conquer the entire world. The world is his. In actuality, will he conquer the entire world? No, he won't conquer the entire world. But he has the enthusiasm that he can conquer the entire world. And that enthusiasm, he accomplishes great things. He'll change the world around him. He'll change himself. He'll change the world around him. Why? Because he has the fire and the enthusiasm of youth. An older person, you know, he smiles. When this guy's out to conquer the world, the older man says, listen, I've seen plenty like you. You're just one more. And nothing too much is going to happen. So the older person, in fact, because of his wisdom in life, is almost a certain cynicism, too. And we don't believe that anything could really change anymore. In life, he said, we need both. We need the reasoned judgment of the older person, and we need the youthful enthusiasm of the young. It's only when we combine both of those that we can actually accomplish the most in this world, by harnessing both of them together. So, here we need not the in terms of my possibility that I can do tshuva, there's not where I need sagacity. There I need youthful enthusiasm. How to do tshuva? How to succeed at tshuva? That I need sagacity for. That is not the province of the young. Young people think that you can just, you know, march along and do everything simply. not so simple, this world. It's a tough world. An older person that's battle-scarred by life, when he has to do something, his cheshbon, his calculus of how to effectuate it, is in a different realm. So we need both. We need the Mishana Shmoy, the realization that I'm a young person, the whole world's in front of me, I can conquer the entire world. But combine that with the wisdom of a person of advanced years of how to conquer the world, then we can conquer the world to some extent. But it's Mishana Shmo. I'm not limited by what took place before. There are no limitations. Hayar Hashem Tikzo, the Rabbi Yisrael doesn't have Siyata Dishmaya to give me. Just because I wasn't Zeicha to the requisite Siyata Dishmaya last time, doesn't mean that this time I'm not going to be Zeicha to Siyata Dishmaya. I could be Zeicha. So this is another aspect of Tshuva. U'mushana Maisav Kulon L'Toyiv U'L'Derech Yishar. And he should change all his Maisav L'Toyiv U'L'Derech Yishar. This is a very cryptic line in the Rambam. But the Rambam, what do you mean? U'mushana Maisav Kulon L'Toyiv U'L'Derech Yishar. The Rambam is not talking about Tshuva, he's talking about Midarkei Tshuva. So if in this line we're talking about the U'mushana Maisav Kulon L'Toyiv U'L'Derech Yishar, then if the chataim, I should have corrected them before I got to Midarkei Atshuva. Elamayde not chataim. So then what do I have to correct? What is Mishana Maisav Kulon L'Toivu L'Derech Yishar? So this is a very cryptic line of the Rambam. I once explored it in Shabbos Shuvah. And I think the essential word in the Rambam is the following. That when we do tshuva, we have to, Rabbi Sol Salanta says the following, that we have to find practical means, he says, lahakdil anisoyin or lahakdil hayir. We need to lessen the anisoyin. So that's what we talked about, for example, the Rambam gave us an example that we should stay very distant from the things in which we were nichshol. So that's lahakdil anisoyin, I'll lessen the chance that I'm going to trip, that I'm going to stumble. On the other hand, Rabbi Sol Salanta says, we have to be l'hagdil hayira. We have to augment ayira shamayim. So between the two, keeping our distance from the nisayon and strengthening ourselves in ayira shamayim, hopefully the two of them together will pull us through. When a person comes to do tshuva, what he needs is the following. The Chazon Ish writes that in reality, all of tshuva is one thing. One step is all of tshuva. And that is to humble ourselves before the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's it. That's all of tshuva. He says the fact that the Musa Sram will open up Dorchot Tzadikim and he has how to deal with Kas and how to deal with Sheker and how to deal with Taiva and how to deal with Gaiva. He says that's merely for the reason that it's a lot easier to break it down in little pieces and work on each little piece by itself. But at the end of the day, tshuva is one thing. I have a new sense of my obligation to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. And there's an aspect of tshuva, which is called tshuva klolus by the Goyim, which means ledaiti, that a person is able to access this point. That I can humble myself before the Rabbeinu Shalom. And if I do that, everything else is idach parusha. All across the board, everything will fall into place. Not so easy to do. A person that comes to do tshuva, one of the things he needs to do is to raise his level of what it means to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. So until now in my life, yeah, was I mekayim the din? I was mekayim the din, yeah. Did I was ever kaim the din the mahadra at the highest level? No, I wasn't mekayim the din at all, but I was mekayim the din. Did what I was supposed to. Could I have done the mitzvah at a higher level than I've done it? Yeah, of course I could have done it at a higher level. But if you ask, did I follow the letter of the Lord of Shulchan Aruch? Absolutely. I don't have anything to do tshuva for in this regard. I did it the way I'm supposed to do it. I was mekayim the din. But I could do the mitzvah with much greater heed. I can do the Ben Odom L'Chaveiro with a different level, a different level of feeling for the next person. I was Mekayim the dinner. Person came, I gave tzedakah, I was Bal Chesed. I did what I was supposed to do, and I was compassionate too for the person. It's not that I was just harsh, here, get out of here. No, I was compassionate. I could be more compassionate. I could find better ways to help him than the way that I helped him. But I helped him, I was Mekayim the dinner. That's what the Rambam means. I can augment my avodas Hashem across the board. When I come to do tshuva, one of the things I need to do is to raise my understanding, my level of service of the Rabbeinu Shalom. I thought, yeah, everything that I did, the other thing, these aspects of my life was al pidin. It's correct. But if I'm machshiv, if I have a greater sense of the responsibility to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom, then I'm not going to want to keep it at this level. I'd like to raise it to a totally different level. Even though it's lifnim meshor hashadin, the halacha doesn't dictate I have to do it. But being a lachuva, I mean, part of that is to raise our awareness of the responsibility I've had to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's what's going to keep me from this chet. So the Rama says, be darkei atshuva, is to look at our life across the board. Till now, we're alpi din, it's true. But can I raise the level of those maisim? So if I'm truly about tshuva, means I want to live with a greater awareness and understanding of the responsibility to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. So one way of that is in all the mitzvahs, even that I'm doing alpi din, if I raise their level to a new level, that means I have a new insight, functionally, concretely, of what it means to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that will affect me when it comes to the area of life where I've stumbled until now. But now, as we said, Rabbi Saul said, I have to be l'hagdil ayir. I have a different understanding of what the responsibility to the Rabbeinu Shalom is. It's not only in this area. It's in the sweep of my entire Avodas Hashem. And this will enable a person to succeed in serving the Rabbeinu Shalom in this fashion. And finally, v'goylam imekaymah. This we know, there were many goylam in earlier centuries that Dudafka went away and they put themselves in Golas to live without the comforts of home. Shagolas Luchaperas Oven. Golas is a kapara. Why? They shagaremas lolikona avlios ono b'shval ruach. When you're on the roads and you don't know where your next meal is coming from, you don't know where you're sleeping the next time, it's hard to be a balgaiva. And when we're humble, then we can be humble before the Rabbeinu Shalom too. And all the midas affect how we relate, deal with those midas in terms of our self-understanding and our involvement with others. That's exactly the way we act towards the Rabbeinu Shalom too. And the Novi in Yirmiyah says it. The Novi in Yirmiyah, I believe in the 8th or the 9th parak, I believe in the beginning of the 9th parak. We read it on Tisha B'Av. It says, Shiftechem b'soich mirma. You live a life of deceit. It's bad enough. But you know what Yirmiyahu says? B'mirmo, in your deceit, may anu das oisi, nu mashem. You refuse to acknowledge me. A person that's honest, so if I'm honest, I have to be honest with the Rabbeinu Shalom too. But if you're deceitful, the deceit doesn't end there. It ends, carries over to the Rabbeinu Shalom too. A person that is humble when it comes to people, so he can be humble with the Rabbeinu Shalom too. A person that's a balgaiva with people is not going to be an onov before the Rabbeinu Shalom. If I'm an onov, then I feel that I perforce must serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. I'm his humble servant. Mi ani, mo ani. Anochi ofor ba'ifa. If I come with that regish, then it's easy to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. So that's where the Rambam ends, the final of the things of Vidarach HaYatshuv is Goylem Mekayma. That a person puts himself in a situation which will increase his humility. May the Rabbeinu Shalom grant that we should feel the inspiration of Elul to do tshuva.